Alex Barth, 98.5thesportsup.com with us. Alex, how you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going all right. Could be better.
It was really convincing, Beto.
let's get into your big thoughts. What's your big picture thought on this game today and the importance of it in this Patriots season?
Yeah, this is a big-time take-care-of-business game, kind of like we talked about, I guess it was last week with the Falcons, right, 10 days ago, whatever it was. And in the state the Titans are in right now, this probably should be, on paper, a bigger game than it is. But when you're going up against a team that has all of their top offensive weapons on IR, they're missing a number of key defensive players in this game as well. The backup quarterback's dealing with COVID. I mean, this team is dealing with everything right now. So it's a game that the Patriots should be able to win. Now, there are some challenges presented. I think Mike Vrabel has obviously been a real test for this team. He's 2-0 against them as a head coach. I think some of the players that are left pose some strategic matchups. Obviously, there's the angle of Mac Jones playing in the cold. So, again, going back to the Thursday night game, it might be an ugly win, but it's a game that they should win.
Looking at what Tennessee does have available for weapons, Alex, we're talking about Dez Fitzpatrick. We're talking about Nick Westbrook-Akina. We're talking about Chester Rogers. Does that change at all what you think the Patriots do? You know, they've been playing a lot of zone recently, but do you look at these guys and say, no, you have to prove you can beat us man-to-man with those wide receivers?
I wonder about that. Ryan Tannehill has been very good against man this year, so I think maybe that kind of negates it. I think there is some talent there. I really like Dez Fitzpatrick in the draft. I don't know about a number two receiver role like he's in right now. I liked him in the draft. And watching Akina against Houston last week, I mean, he's a big guy. He can get himself open over the middle. He's kind of that receiver the Patriots don't have that they've been looking for. So he presents some challenges too, but I think you stick J.C. Jackson on him. Like, if Ryan Tannehill's going to beat you, throwing a Dez Fitzpatrick and throwing a Chester Rogers, I mean, sometimes you just you got to tip your cap. You know, like, I don't know that there's, especially with how inexperienced those guys are in this offense, I don't know that there's a ton to worry about there where you would change up what's been working for you so well defensively, number one scoring defense in the league over the last five games.
Is that the game plan? If you're the Patriots, do you say, hey, we know you don't have Derrick Henry, but we also know you're a physical team and you're probably still going to try and come out and run the football. We're going to take the runaway first and make Ryan Tannehill beat us.
It's tough to say because their offensive line's banged up too. And like you said, they don't have Henry. Like, what do you take away what they do best? Well, that's already been taken away by all of these injuries. The Titans are at their most dangerous in play action. So I think in a roundabout way, the defensive game plan almost needs to be being aggressive on offense early. Because if you get up big, you take away the play action. If you get up early, like they did against the Browns a couple weeks ago, I think that's another very comparable game to what we could see here. And remember, they were banged up, too. They didn't have Nick Chubb. So I think, you know, if you take away the run, too, maybe that's it. You take away play action that way. But whatever you can do to limit that play action, if you turn Ryan Tannehill into a drop-back passer, he's not going to have success.
Alex, we were talking earlier about the Patriots in this matchup, you know, wanting to play physical football down the stretch here and how that may just be what they go out and do and run the football early and trying to, you know, establish themselves, and set a tone, and set an edge and all that stuff. The weather is getting colder. Kickoff today going to be somewhere around 40 degrees. And Mac Jones is a kid from Jacksonville. This is something that he's already been criticized for this year by Rex Ryan without ever having the chance to play in cold weather. Is this something you're watching closely as the season progresses?
Long term, it's definitely something to keep an eye on, right? If you want to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots, you have to be able to win in the cold. That's just the reality of it. As far as this season goes, obviously they're going to need him to make plays down the stretch. But I look back on that 2018 season, right? And remember when it got down the stretch around this time of year and it got cold, they started running the ball more and just bullying teams with the run. And we all talked about it. We were all saying, oh, you know, it gets cold, you run the ball in New England, yep. That's what you do. It feels like this year there could be something similar where, especially with the backs they have, the way Harris, the way Stevenson run translates really well to the cold weather, just angry, physical, aggressive runners. If they're going to be able to do that and if they can kind of have that 2018 feel where they're just wearing teams out with the running game, it's going to keep things easier for Mac Jones. It's going to let him adjust to the cold. Again, ultimately, he's going to have to do it, whether it's this year or not. He's going to have to step up in the cold at some point, right? Last week or 2 weeks ago, sorry, against Cleveland, last home game, he's wearing the hand warmer. It's like 50 degrees out. So that does catch your eye, but I don't know.
50, that's, you know, warm, Mac. Dude, that's
exactly.
That's warm out. What are you doing with the hand warmer?
I don't know that this season's going to be won or lost based on what the temperature is for Mac Jones. I think they have the running game to support him. But it is worth watching because it is a long-term factor for Mac Jones to have success in New England.
You know, so many things have gone right, obviously, for the Patriots this season, and particularly during this five-game winning streak. But I think if you have to look at something that's been a little disappointing, I would say it is the play of former Tennessee Titan Jonnu Smith. And I know that Josh McDaniels spoke recently about the idea that this is sort of a foundational year for Jonnu Smith in this offense. But what do you think of Jonnu Smith playing against his former team today, Alex? And he's, you know, coming off the last two games that he's played in, Carolina and Atlanta, where those were one-catch games for him.
I think, and they've been telling us, Hunter Henry told us, Mac Jones told us, Kendrick Bourne told us, the breakout game is coming. That the breakout game is coming for Jonnu Smith, and what a better day to have it than against your former team. I thought McDaniel's comments about the foundational year, he called a foundational year, were very interesting because this is a guy on a long-term contract. He is a very unique player, and they're asking him to do some things he didn't necessarily do in Tennessee. So, I'm not totally out on him. Maybe it's something where it's going to take him a year to grow into the role, and next year they can fully implement it 100%. We've seen them do that with other players, with rookies in the past, almost sort of a redshirt year. Now, it's not great to redshirt the highest-paid tight end in free agency, obviously, but we've seen other guys. Remember, and this isn't a perfect comparison, but remember Stephon Gilmore's like first five games in New England, where he got toasted, and we're all talking about what a bad signing it was. People wanted him benched. It worked out.
It did.
I think it went okay.
I'd also say Danny Amendola, who came in here on a big contract in 2013, didn't practice a ton, didn't have the quarterback's trust, and then ended up being one of the most trusted guys throughout the length of his time here. So that's a good one. That's a good model for Jonnu.
Probably a better one, yeah. I'm not totally out on him. It has been a little bit of a slow year for him this far, but I think, you know, today's a good jumping-off point. And look, against the Titans team that has a good pass rush, has a good secondary, especially a safety in Kevin Byard, not a ton in the middle, especially with some of their linebackers out, Rashawn Evans. Some of that underneath catch and run stuff, off play action, that could be a big factor today. That's Jonnu Smith's bread and butter. So I could see it today. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to have eight catches for 100 yards and two touchdowns. Mark the tape in case he does. But I like the matchup for him today. If they're going to get him the ball, he could have some success.
A lot of people have said that coaching staff needs to get more creative with him, that he can't just be lined up as a tight end. He can't just be used blocking. They've got to find a way to sort of get him outside and use him more creatively.
Use him
sort of that H-back
Who's
role.
Saying this? They line him up in the backfield. They throw him, like, screens. They put him in, like, orbit motion. They've done they make it so easy for him to get the ball. Like, he basically doesn't even have to run any routes.
Well, here's the thing about that.
Go ahead. I'm not even going to finish. Go ahead.
Sorry. There's another player on the roster that fits that description, and that's N'Keal Harry. And we talked about when they drafted him being a usage guy, and it's going to come down to how they use him. And I know people want to talk about his struggles. Well, some of that has just been the way the team has used him, putting him in a position to succeed, having him play to his strengths. They haven't always done that. So there's a bit of a parallel there as well. But you see N'Keal get used a little bit more now. So maybe Jonnu comes along, too, in that
jumping
sense.
Ugly on me here this morning. What I was going to say you hear the same thing that you heard with N'Keal Harry, which is, as you just mentioned, you got to get the ball into his hands, right?
Okay.
And at some point, you've got to say, and sometimes that's on the player to get it into his own hands, right? I think the most concerning thing about Jonnu Smith, and by the way, I'm with Barth. I'm not out on this guy.
Yeah, I'm not out on him either.
All right, so none of us are out on this guy. We all think that he can actually make major contributions at some point to this team. May not happen this year, but I think it can still happen for him. I think part of the problem is he's been very shaky catching the football. It's been a major issue of his this year. Hanging on to the ball, catching the football, fighting the football, having it bounce off his chest, bounce off his pads. He's had some real issues with that this year. That's on him. That's not on the coaches.
I agree. Yeah, and that's why I sort of jumped on you there, is that I feel like Josh McDaniels is always an easy target. Like, early in the year, it was like, Josh has a leash on Mac. Oh, they won't throw in the end zone because of Josh. You know, like, I think Josh is doing a great job managing this. And Mac would even come out and say, I went back and looked at the film. There were some plays there I didn't make. And people would ignore that and still jump on Josh. So I just think it's easy when a guy's not producing or not maximizing opportunities to say, the offensive coordinator has to do this, that, and the other. A lot of times it's about the player. The plays are there to be made. The player has to make them.
And you know what you never like hearing? You never like hearing the word confidence brought up. That always scares me when you have a guy who's got, like, issues catching the ball, and then you start, they got to get him going. They got to get his confidence up. Now, when you're talking about N'Keal Harry, who's a rookie, fine, whatever. But when you're talking about a guy who just signed a big free agent contract, that's a little more concerning when you start talking about things like that.
Yeah, no, it's you don't know about it because he kind of had his role in Tennessee and he fit really well into it. And they're asking him to do not just learn a new offense, but do some like X's and O's wise some things he hasn't done before. So that's where you struggle with that, and all of a sudden it can sink in there. But again, the foundational year comment to me is big because it means they had more than just a one-year plan for this guy, right? Foundational year means it's more than just we're going to put him in year one, day one, and that's what he's going to do. It means they want to build on what he's
doing.
That's
what they're saying now, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it means they're putting the best face on it. I mean, I'm sure they had higher expectations.
Here's the thing.
I'm not saying that about Hunter Henry.
You know, but now at this point, it's like, well, now this, this is a foundational year for him. I will say this. In fairness to him, and we have to say he did, and this is his right as a player, and I will always support the player on this, he did not participate in OTAs. And maybe that sort of put him behind and turned it into more of a foundational year. And I have no problem with him missing OTAs because that's the player's right. But I do think it left him a little bit behind and sort of trying to catch up to this offense in a way that other guys have had to do in the past. You know, I'm not saying he's like this guy, but there are guys who have been very successful, like a Chad Johnson, a Chad Ochocinco, who comes in here and it's like, well, wait a second. This isn't a numbers-based offense. My route is not based on – I'm not just running a 7 route. I have to look and read the coverage. I have to see what the quarterback sees. It's sight adjustment. It's not easy for guys to acclimate, and if you miss some of that teaching time in the spring, it can slow you down a little bit.
All right, Alex, appreciate the time, and go check out all of Alex's work at 98.5 The Sports Hub.